Ինգլիսური ենից տեստից մոսմենից դավալեպա.
You will see the questions on the monitor. Please do the tasks while listening. If you don't hear the recording well, please raise your hand. Task 1. Listening. You will hear an interview with Tenatin Djaparidze, a young Georgian songwriter. For questions 1 to 12, choose the best answer A, B, or C. You now have 45 seconds to look through the task. You will hear the recording twice. Today, we've invited Tenatin Djaparidze, a Georgian composer and singer with a career in the United States. She'll share memories of her work with us. Tenatin, you wrote your first song when you were 18. It ended up winning the John Lennon Songwriting Contest and topping the pop music charts, is that right?
Yes, the song with the name connected was the result of my first attempt at songwriting. When I was still living in London, where I took my first musical steps in a professional sense. If not for this song, I may have never ended up pursuing my dream in the United States. My producer Chris Neal was in Miami recording Celine Dion for a French film soundtrack. We played him a piece of my song, Connected, over the phone while he was in the studio. Chris, my producer, is famous for spotting a hit song when he hears one, and he has made an amazing career finding and recording hits for artists like Celine Dion and Rod Stewart. So, when Chris listened to my song, he immediately called his American contacts and I was soon on my way to New York thanks to this very song.
Tell us more about the John Lennon Songwriting Contest. What do you remember best from that event?
I submitted the song to John Lennon's songwriting contest and forgot about it. Then I suddenly got a call from the contest staff and they told me that my song had made the finals in the pop category. Something I'd never dreamt about. I had kept the song hidden in my drawer for weeks and was too modest and shy to play it to anyone. So, this wasn't such a bad result after all. I guess my instincts in that particular instance were completely off, and thank God for that.
We the Peoples, one of the United Nations anthems, was written by you. I know that you also have some memories of the 2008 war in Georgia connected to this song.
The song, We the Peoples, has always been dear to my heart. It was written at a time when my life and career were at a serious crossroads. At that time, I was torn between music and my newly discovered passion for journalism and politics. This was also at the time of the 2008 war in Georgia, and I was completely involved in all political things, gradually drifting away from music. I was covering the United Nations for a variety of printed media publications, also was hosting my own weekly radio show, interviewing various politicians and diplomats. This song was reviewed in Billboard magazine, where it was welcomed as the best song of the month. This was a big privilege for me. The opportunity to write the song We the Peoples based on the United Nations Charter made me a well-known artist in the U.S.
You wrote a song for Barbara Streisand, which she liked very much. Could you please tell us more about your relationship with this legendary woman?
Yes, of course. A couple of years ago, my friend and co-writer Rick Allison and I were sitting in his beautiful studio in Montreal, playing on the piano and having a great time. There we recorded the song, the one which later Barbara Streisand would like, with Rick on the piano and me in front of the microphone. We jokingly started referring to the song as Barbara's Song Number 1. A few days later, my producer in London heard the demo version of the song and immediately said, "We should submit this to Barbara's team for her next album." Just like that, Barbara's producer in Los Angeles listened to the song and loved it. He was the person who advised Barbara to include it in her new album. I was so happy. After all, Barbara Streisand has always been my idol. I used to spend hours on the balcony of my house in Georgia as a 9-year-old kid singing one funny girl song after another.
You wrote a song for Celine Dion as well, didn't you?
Celine Dion was another artist who had greatly influenced me in my early years. It was Celine who, in my childhood years, inspired me to learn French because I was so keen on understanding her lyrics. Many years later, I was on my way from New York to Las Vegas to meet Celine Dion to discuss a possible collaboration. I was so excited to meet this legendary artist. I could hardly believe this was going to happen. She turned out to be so warm and friendly. I loved every minute of our meeting. There are a couple of my songs for Celine Dion's upcoming album, which she hasn't yet started recording because of her current Las Vegas performance dates.
Despite being so busy with all of this, you are a rather successful singer yourself. Could you tell us something about this part of your career?
My main project at the moment as both a performer and a writer is a new Broadway musical show that I've co-written with Broadway legend scriptwriter Timothy Graffenreid. The musical is an autobiographical story based on my book. Initially, it started off as a 2-person show starring Timothy and me as singers. And now it's a full cast production directed by an award-winning director. I'm so excited about this show and the feedback from the theater community on and off Broadway in New York, also in my home country, Georgia. I truly cannot wait to bring this Broadway show to Georgia. I'm looking forward to it in the future.
Thank you, Tinatine, for this very interesting interview. Today, we've invited Tinatine Japaridze, a Georgian composer and singer with a career in the United States. She'll share memories of her work with us. Tinatine, you wrote your first song when you were 18. It ended up winning the John Lennon Songwriting Contest and topping the pop music charts, is that right?
Yes, the song with the name Connected was the result of my first attempt at songwriting. When I was still living in London, where I took my first musical steps in a professional sense. If not for this song, I may have never ended up pursuing my dream in the United States. My producer Chris Neal was in Miami recording Celine Dion for a French film soundtrack. We played him a piece of my song, Connected, over the phone while he was in the studio. Chris, my producer, is famous for spotting a hit song when he hears one, and he has made an amazing career finding and recording hits for artists like Celine Dion and Rod Stewart. So, when Chris listened to my song, he immediately called his American contacts and I was soon on my way to New York thanks to this very song.
Tell us more about the John Lennon Songwriting Contest. What do you remember best from that event?
I submitted the song to John Lennon's songwriting contest and forgot about it. Then I suddenly got a call from the contest staff and they told me that my song had made the finals in the pop category. Something I'd never dreamt about. I had kept the song hidden in my drawer for weeks and was too modest and shy to play it to anyone. So, this wasn't such a bad result after all. I guess my instincts in that particular instance were completely off, and thank God for that.
We the Peoples, one of the United Nations anthems, was written by you. I know that you also have some memories of the 2008 war in Georgia connected to this song.
The song, We the Peoples, has always been dear to my heart. It was written at a time when my life and career were at a serious crossroads. At that time, I was torn between music and my newly discovered passion for journalism and politics. This was also at the time of the 2008 war in Georgia, and I was completely involved in all political things, gradually drifting away from music. I was covering the United Nations for a variety of printed media publications, also was hosting my own weekly radio show, interviewing various politicians and diplomats. This song was reviewed in Billboard magazine, where it was welcomed as the best song of the month. This was a big privilege for me. The opportunity to write the song We the Peoples based on the United Nations Charter made me a well-known artist in the U.S.
You wrote a song for Barbara Streisand, which she liked very much. Could you please tell us more about your relationship with this legendary woman?
Yes, of course. A couple of years ago, my friend and co-writer Rick Allison and I were sitting in his beautiful studio in Montreal, playing on the piano and having a great time. There we recorded the song, the one which later Barbara Streisand would like, with Rick on the piano and me in front of the microphone. We jokingly started referring to the song as Barbara's Song Number One. A few days later, my producer in London heard the demo version of the song and immediately said, "We should submit this to Barbara's team for her next album." Just like that, Barbara's producer in Los Angeles listened to the song and loved it. He was the person who advised Barbara to include it in her new album. I was so happy. After all, Barbara Streisand has always been my idol. I used to spend hours on the balcony of my house in Georgia as a 9-year-old kid singing one funny girl song after another.
You wrote a song for Celine Dion as well, didn't you?
Celine Dion was another artist who had greatly influenced me in my early years. It was Celine who, in my childhood years, inspired me to learn French because I was so keen on understanding her lyrics. Many years later, I was on my way from New York to Las Vegas to meet Celine Dion to discuss a possible collaboration. I was so excited to meet this legendary artist. I could hardly believe this was going to happen. She turned out to be so warm and friendly. I loved every minute of our meeting. There are a couple of my songs for Celine Dion's upcoming album, which she hasn't yet started recording because of her current Las Vegas performance dates.
Despite being so busy with all of this, you are a rather successful singer yourself. Could you tell us something about this part of your career?
My main project at the moment as both a performer and a writer is a new Broadway musical show that I've co-written with Broadway legend scriptwriter Timothy Graffenreid. The musical is an autobiographical story based on my book. Initially, it started off as a 2-person show starring Timothy and me as singers. And now it's a full cast production directed by an award-winning director. I'm so excited about this show and the feedback from the theater community on and off Broadway in New York, also in my home country, Georgia. I truly cannot wait to bring this Broadway show to Georgia. I'm looking forward to it in the future.
Thank you, Tinatine, for this very interesting interview.
Task 2. Listening. You will hear 4 people talking about their opinion on the concerts they had attended. From the list A through F, choose what each speaker 1 through 4 says. Use each letter only once. 2 letters are extra. You have 30 seconds to look through the task. You will then hear the recording twice. Speaker 1. This was a concert from the Seaside Boys, a great rock band just back from a successful tour in Europe. But the first part was all new stuff and a bit boring. And although everyone was shouting out the names of the songs that they wanted to hear, the band took no notice, which was a shame. It's bad when your favorite band refuses to play their best songs. Anyway, after a while, we all started getting into the new songs, and by the end, the audience response was great. So I don't think anyone minded the ticket price anymore. Speaker 2. The concert went on for 3 hours and it featured a variety of bands. I'd have preferred something shorter and of higher quality. The first band to come on, the Eagles, didn't seem to have rehearsed very well. Their songs were okay, but otherwise it was a mess. What made the evening worthwhile for me was the fact that all profits from the tickets were going to a charity devoted to childcare. There was a huge audience because you don't often get the chance to see so many bands at one place and at such a low cost. Speaker 3. This was a concert put on by Amelia Armstrong and her band, who play pop songs with some touches of jazz and country. She's got a beautiful voice, but the rest of the band let her down. At times, it felt like a high school concert, the audience clapping and cheering all the time when there wasn't much to shout about. That's all fine, except I don't particularly enjoy paying $30 for a high school performance where profits go to a second-class musician. Speaker 4. This was a concert by Linda Mac's band. The beginning was very impressive. A huge cloud of smoke appeared on the stage, and out of it emerged Linda Mac, dressed extraordinarily, with a big red flower on top of her head. I know some people would have wanted her to sing her latest songs, but I was happy that the night was all about the old favorites I've listened to so many times. It was nice to see that at the end she got a standing ovation. Speaker 1. This was a concert from the Seaside Boys, a great rock band just back from a successful tour in Europe. But the first part was all new stuff and a bit boring. And although everyone was shouting out the names of the songs that they wanted to hear, the band took no notice, which was a shame. It's bad when your favorite band refuses to play their best songs. Anyway, after a while, we all started getting into the new songs, and by the end, the audience response was great. So I don't think anyone minded the ticket price anymore. Speaker 2. The concert went on for 3 hours, and it featured a variety of bands. I'd have preferred something shorter and of higher quality. The first band to come on, the Eagles, didn't seem to have rehearsed very well. Their songs were okay, but otherwise it was a mess. What made the evening worthwhile for me was the fact that all profits from the tickets were going to a charity devoted to childcare. There was a huge audience because you don't often get the chance to see so many bands at one place and at such a low cost. Speaker 3. This was a concert put on by Amelia Armstrong and her band, who play pop songs with some touches of jazz and country. She's got a beautiful voice, but the rest of the band let her down. At times, it felt like a high school concert, the audience clapping and cheering all the time when there wasn't much to shout about. That's all fine, except I don't particularly enjoy paying $30 for a high school performance where profits go to a second-class musician. Speaker 4. This was a concert by Linda Mac's band. The beginning was very impressive. A huge cloud of smoke appeared on the stage, and out of it emerged Linda Mack, dressed extraordinarily, with a big red flower on top of her head. I know some people would have wanted her to sing her latest songs, but I was happy that the night was all about the old favorites I've listened to so many times. It was nice to see that at the end she got a standing ovation. This is the end of the listening part.
Մոսմենის დავალება დასრულებულია.